So, this was actually one of the turning points for me in my Christian walk, and it was the year 2014. We were living in Chesterton Drive, and it was a particularly challenging time for us. So Wayne had been made redundant, and he was put in contract work, setting up his own business, and studying. And he also had some health problems at the time as well. It was our daughter's final year in A-levels before she headed off to university. And I very quickly realized, you know, with the extra costs that university brought with it. And our son was about to start secondary school. And I can remember it was a really, really overwhelming time. Emotionally, just trying to figure out how we were going to do this and what the Lord was doing, actually. And I was working in a job that was increasingly frustrating. And so I was at the same time busy filling out application after application after application with no success. And I found increasingly that the journey, those of you who remember the village, is that you were just under a mile's walk from the train station. And that journey between home and God became my time of conversing with God in the morning and in the evening. Now, I say conversing. Sometimes it was thanks, because there was a lot to be thankful for. Sometimes it was pleading. Sometimes it was crying. Sometimes it was anger. Sometimes it was seeking guidance. But that journey became the time when all of this happened. And I can remember one particular morning. It was wet. It was rainy. It was cold. And it was dark. And I was walking to the station and my brain was in overdrive. I cried the whole journey to the station. And I can remember that morning being really thankful that it was wet, it was dark, it was cold, and it was raining. Because then I could cry and no one would know. As I walked and I pleaded, and I just kept saying, Lord, I don't know what I am supposed to do here. And I don't want to go to work, actually. But I had to. Our financial situation stated that I didn't have a choice. And so I kept going. Oh, well, at least that's what I thought. The song Oceans, and I think we're probably going to sing it after this. That was a relatively new song at the time. And Phil had introduced it to us here at the church. And that was the song in my head that day. I don't remember much of the train journey itself, but I do remember getting up at London Bridge for that walk to the office. And that morning, as I normally did, because London Bridge is very touristy, and tourists walk at a different pace to those of us who go to work. And sometimes you can get really frustrated as they sort of meander along and you're trying to get to where you need to be. So sometimes I would take the back routes to the office, and that morning I did. And I'm walking along in my thoughts, and I soon noted a pattern. There were a set of traffic lights on my way to work. And I began to notice that every time I approached the light, the green man came on, and I just kept going. At no point did I have to stop and wait for the green man. And I actually started to anticipate the next light to see whether or not it was going to happen. And it did for every single light. This is weird, but I kept going. The last bit of that journey was through a pedestrian tunnel. And as I walked through that tunnel, when I come on the other end of that tunnel, that would be the door to work. And as I'm walking through that tunnel, I very audibly heard the Lord say, I will make the way clear for you. Amen. That day was a very different day. That song stayed on repeat in my head, and I was more and more excited, but also more and more nervous, because I knew what I needed to do. I am a person who likes to be in control of everything, and my family would tell you, I plan ahead, so I know what's happening over there. I I don't do very well with lots and lots of uncertainty. But at that point, I knew what I was going to do. I knew I needed to design. So I remember leaving work that evening, crafting in my head how I was going to have this discussion with Wayne. Because I fully expected him to say, "Dad, that's not a great idea." But he didn't. He said, "If that's what you think you need to do, that's what you need to do." So the next morning, there I was skipping to the office with my notice in my hand. You know, happily handing it in, etc. And I had to give 3 months' notice. And I remember then handing the notice to my boss, having a conversation with her, and her saying, "Are you really sure you don't have anything to go to? Isn't it best we find something to go to first, etc., etc.?" And me saying, "No, I'm doing this." And then walking into my office, closing the door, and saying, "Okay, Lord, over to you." And that was that. And I continued to do what I did before. I continued to fill out applications, etc., because I just said, "The Lord's going to sort this. I just need to do my bit." But what happened next was nothing in my book short of a miracle. One day, out of the blue, I received a message on LinkedIn. Now, while I am on LinkedIn, I'm not an active person on LinkedIn. And at that time, I didn't even know that you could look for jobs on LinkedIn. But I got a message out of the blue from a recruiter from an organization I'd never heard from before. And so I responded, and I had a telephone conversation with her, and I said, "How did you know that I was job hunting?" And she said, "I didn't. I was just doing a search for a professional in project management, and your name came up, so I got in touch with you." And we spoke about the role, and I left thinking, "Nah, this role's not for me. It was too junior." So I told her that. I said, "I don't think so, but thank you for contacting me." She encouraged me to have a chat with the business before I made any decision. And she was actually really honest. She said, "This is going to be a first for us. We don't know what we're looking for. Please just have a chat with the managers." So I decided that I would do that. But I wasn't really into it because I sort of thought, "This is not going to be for me, and this is not what the Lord has for me." But it turned out that that's exactly what the Lord had for me. There were lots and lots of challenges. Like when I was supposed to have that first interview, the day before the interview, it was moved from London to Wolverhampton. I didn't know where Wolverhampton was. I'd never heard of Wolverhampton, I'd never been to Wolverhampton, and I didn't know how to get to Wolverhampton. But again, the Lord sorted it. They provided the tickets. All I needed to do was pick up at the train station. There was taxi waiting for me. Everything, at every step, he did what he needed to do. And he just kept reminding me of the green man, of the man turning green every time. And every time an obstacle came up, I just remembered, "The Lord will turn the man green. It will be fine. It will be fine." The reason why I chose to share this is because that opportunity, although it was not an opportunity that had anything to do with me, it wasn't an application that I sent or anything that I did. And I think that was really important. And the Lord was saying, "This is not about your strength or your skills or your knowledge. This is about me doing what I can do and showing you that actually you can put your trust in me." That opportunity turned out to be one of the best opportunities I've had in my career. 3 amazing years having experiences that I never thought I would have. Why I want to share that is because of Psalm 77, verse 11. It's a verse that I keep reminding myself about. It says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles from long ago." And sometimes, as the Lord, as we exercise faith and the Lord delivers, we need to remember those, because those are the ones with each obstacle and challenge that then comes that takes us along that journey. And for those of us who are doing Bible in a Year, over the past couple of weeks, we would have seen quite a lot of examples of the Lord doing just that. Time and time again, we see people of the Lord who are facing challenges but then who are in conversation with God, and God then being the one who removes, either removes the obstacles or makes a way through the obstacles for them to be able to accomplish success. We see stories of Abraham, Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, Jacob. Those are some of the people that we've been reading about over the past few weeks. But the one that really resonated with me this week was of Abraham's servant in his quest to find a wife for Isaac. And that's in Genesis chapter 24, verses 12 to 26, for those of you who want to spend some time reading that particular story. But Abraham asked his servant to go back to his family, Abraham's family, to find a wife for Isaac. In verse 7, Abraham said, "The same God that said to your offspring, the same God that said, 'I will give this land to your offspring,' he will send his angel before you so you can get a wife for my son." So Abraham is going back and he's saying, the same God that did this is the same God that's going to do this other thing over here. Abraham remembered when God had delivered. Abraham remembered when God had brought success. And Abraham believed that the same God will be able to fulfill in this particular circumstance. And what I got out of that was that the mountain may differ, but God remains the same. The challenges may change, but God remains the same. And we have only to trust and have faith. There's just one more person that I want to highlight. It's actually Abraham's servant. And Abraham's servant, he was in communication with God, but he was talking about the faith displayed by Abraham. So he's praying to God, and in verse 12 he says, "Lord God of my master Abraham, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today." Then, and this is what I found really fascinating, he outlines to God the sequence of events that will bring that success. He says to God, "And this is what I've been looking for. The young lady will come and I will ask her to water my camels, and she would I will ask her for water and she will offer to water my camels as well." So he actually outlines what it is that was going to happen. And I thought that was actually pretty bold. Because sometimes we sort of say, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you have for me?" And I think we sometimes forget that actually he says to us sometimes, "Ask and it shall be given to you." So we have the authority to say, "Actually, Lord, and this is the sequence of events that I'm looking for." So that really stood out for me this week. But also the fact that God complies with him and he finds a wife for Isaac in the beautiful Rebecca. For me, what that sort of brought home is that our faith, or our lack of faith sometimes, may well be seen by others who do not know the Lord personally. The way we live and demonstrate our faith may be the only demonstration of Christ that other people ever see. And that's what will give them the boldness to approach God when they are faced with their challenges. So we need to be really careful about how we demonstrate that faith, because others may well be looking at us. So in closing, just to add that the big thing here is that faith is an action word. It's a bit like walking. You have to keep taking one step at a time in order to move from one place to the other. James chapter 2 verse 26 tells us that faith without works is dead. So that tells us that each time a challenge or obstacle appears, no matter how big or how little, it gives us that opportunity to demonstrate that faith and to take action. And I'm going to actually end on the very last verse that was read a while ago. We have to remember that we're his children. Jeremiah 29:11 says, he has great plans for us. Plans to prosper us, plans of a hope, and plans of a future. Are you willing to have faith in God and take